We got a great tweet from Ivan Johnson. Not that Ivan Johnson.
bring it back.
He says, fellas, my problem with Jeff Ulbrich is the style. He says, he has the same style, all right, as far as his defensive approach as Raheem and Dan Quinn. Here's the thing. There's nothing wrong with that because we went to a Super Bowl with that. But here's the deal. He's right about this. It is a low blitz rate scheme that doesn't work unless you're stout up front. He's absolutely right about that. Mike, do you feel like we're stout up front?
No. I don't think we've got the guys. I've always felt we don't have the horses. Now, I mean, I think Onyemata, it's hard to, you know, to know exactly what Onyemata is doing, what's being asked of him, because it's not really going to translate statistically. You know, I've always felt Grady Jarrett, despite maximum effort, is a fish out of water in a 3-4 front. But that's why I said to start the program, I would love to see what Wink Martindale's version of this offense or defense would look like. Or, you know, whether it's 3-4-4-3 or 3-4 with 4-3 tendencies, but playing to the strengths. Maybe you look and say, I don't have the guys. Because, you know, just like we hated watching Matthew Judon dropping back in coverage the way we hated watching, you know, Vic Beasley dropping back in coverage, you know, you better have a super athletic OLB. You know, to do that. You know, that these are the things. That's why I would love to see a new approach, because to the fans' standpoint, we watch teams that are, there's a combination. There was aggressiveness. You've got to have the horses. Dan Quinn, remember the year we went to the Super Bowl, Carl? He would selectively dial up some good corner blitzes.
Yes.
You know, we'd set Brian Poole, things like that, Alford, because we could never get there even that year, necessarily. But that's just to echo the sentiments of our texter. I agree 100%. Don't like it because we're going back to the scheme, which frustrates a lot of Falcon fans.
Yeah, I do too. And by the way, I mean, as far as the scheme, do we care? Because none of it's worked. 3-4 hadn't worked. 4-3 hadn't worked. You know why it hadn't worked? We don't have the dudes. That's why. So, I mean, at the end of the day, the scheme is the scheme. It's Mike, we talk about this all the time with Atlanta United to do a little crossover here, because we're going to be over at the training grounds in a couple of days talking with all the folks over there. But, you know, everybody's like, oh, well, what are they going to do today as far as the lineup? It doesn't matter if you don't have the guys.
You need more people.
You know, so we always talk about this.
Right.
It's like, oh, what is Atlanta United going to do? Are they changing their tactics? It doesn't matter. 3-4-4-3. All right, with that said, we got to grab Anthony. Anthony, welcome into Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. What are your thoughts on the hiring of Jeff Ulbrich?
Hey, man. I tell you, you know, Mike summarized it up, man, and think about it. I'm 58 years old, and you know who else is 58 years old? The Atlanta Falcons. I mean, I'm a native of Atlanta. My whole family, man, you know, from the Fulton County Stadium all the way to when the Smiths owned the team, and there was no expectations. But then we get a new owner and we build this hype in the city of Atlanta. All of my ancestors, everybody who's alive and not here, the ones that are not here, turning over in their grave right now, because what Mike said, same old, same old, same old. And it bothers me to the core when someone says, well, give this a chance. Dude, we've been giving it a chance for 58 years. And I tell you right now, it just burns me up, because it's like, you get a new coach, add two more years. You add a new coordinator, add two more years. Get a new quarterback, add these different years. It's like for 58 years, dude, and I think we're the second oldest team on that infamous list, the list that says that these people, we hadn't won a Super Bowl. I think we're the second oldest. Man, I'm sick of this. I'm 58, man. I'm 58. I'm trying to retire in a couple years. Can I get something for this? But nonetheless, man, I love y'all. I love your beer. Hey, man, y'all rock. Thank you.
Thanks, appreciate bro. You. Listen, we're not quitters either, Anthony. We're not going to quit. I hear you. We don't have a choice. This is the hire. We can debate whether it's the right hire. He can show us whether he's the right guy. But we're not quitting. I'm not going to quit. So I hear you. The frustration is real, and that's why we're talking about it with you guys. Do we all want something out of this fandom, Mike, that we have invested in this team emotionally? Economically? Hell yeah, we do. Absolutely we do. And that's why we're here talking about it with you. But I'm also watching these playoffs, and now here we are a week away from the championship games, and I'm just like, I'm enjoying it, but damn, I want to get back in this thing. I want to be one of those consistent teams that is playing, Mike, in the divisional round, wild card, I don't give a damn, AFC, NFC championship round. I want to be one of those teams, and not just for 1 year. Build something that allows you to compete consistently, and if you're not in it every year, again, that's sports. I get it. But, Mike, do we feel like we're there?
No. No, man, I just this goes back to, you know, the frustration which we had, you know, at times this season. This year was you take it back. And again, whatever happened here in the past, does it have any bearing? Well, there are some things you would look at from Jeff Ulbrich's time here with Raheem Morris. If you want to specifically look at a year of 2020, now they didn't have the offensive coordinator they wanted, right? With Dirk Cutter.
Right.
And you called that one that year, but you still had to implement your scheme. And we had trouble stopping people that year. Mm-hmm. So you get back to, why do we do the things that we do? Why? I mean, because it's safe. Because hiring Jeff Ulbrich, Raheem's got a confidant, got a guy. There was never a moment I thought that, and I wanted, but I knew when I even said it on the radio, they would go outside the family. It's so frustrating. You want someone to shake it up. You want someone's going to come in here and not go, yeah, rubber stamp that. No, you want someone's going to say, we don't have the horses for this or that. And it just seems like the good franchise challenge themselves. Some people bring in people, some teams just do the same after same after same. And if you're Bill Belichick, that works. But other places, Carl, that does not seem to work in the NFL, and we're one of those places.
Yeah, no doubt. 404-726-0929. Guys, it is a Big Monday show, again, brought to you this hour by Padley. Your home, you can sell it for cash and fast. PadleyBuys.com. That's P-A-D-L-Y. Bobby and Stone Mountain, you're up next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Bobby, how are you feeling about the hire?
Man, I'm very mad about this hire, man. Everything you guys have said, I'm just going to be honest with you. In order for the Falcons to change, the fans, they're going to have to start going to the game, man. They're going to have to do that, because that's what only thing that the owner and people that's the only way you're going to get changed. As long as y'all keep making excuses, telling them, well, you know, we're going to be good fans, we're going to always show up for you guys, then they're going to keep doing this stupid stuff. Because the franchise that you're talking about, like the Eagles and stuff, they fans are real hard on the ownership. So that's why they always feel pressure to try to win. I think these guys, they just do like y'all said, what's comfortable. And if you really want change, then you got to show them with your money. Hey, look, we'll come out and support you if they get out of the store and win. But we're not going to give y'all any good money until y'all start showing that y'all really trying to win the Super Bowl. I think Arthur Blank was on the right track with Belichick, but the problem was he started to listen to the other guys who got scared, who he's comfortable with. So he hired the guys that they were comfortable with, and that's why we keep getting the same old bullcrap. You know, the Braves, when they started winning, was when they brought Bobby Carson in. A lot of people was against that. But you know, Bobby Carson knew how to win. Belichick knew how to win. Yeah, he might be old or whatever, but he knows how. He got a formula for how to win. And I think that's what we got to do. We got to get a program in here of guys that know how to win those kind of games and know how to get you to those kind of games. You know, not no maybe, hope. Not no.
Appreciate you, Bobby.
Yeah, appreciate you.
And by the way, we're up against the clock here. I just want to make sure that we're trying to get as many people in as we can. And if you want to talk about it, 404-726-0929. Mike, here's the thing. He makes the Braves, you know, correlation. Listen, the Braves also had a very good front office that was active and aggressive and made moves. We talk about those early 2000 teams through the mid-2000s, even to now. Alex Anthopoulos, guys, he hadn't been perfect, but he's been damn good. And it's one of the reasons why, you know, you have to have a front office as well. It's not just the head coach. Yeah, manager matters, but it's not just the head coach, the front office. And, Mike, we've had how many discussions on this show over the last 10 years about the front office and the direction of the front office and how they're doing business and the kind of guys they're trying to go get?
Right. I mean, this gets back to, you know, the bigger picture issues which crop up with this team. It's just the way we approach things. It just seems like to the average fan, or the hardcore fan especially, it just seems like more of the same. We're running back 2020. That's what I said when I saw it on social media. It's like, man, this is just not the way I would operate a team. Now, yes, I've had guys, Carl, we had this debate, you and I joke around all the time. Man, Mike would be the worst owner in the world. I'd be worse than Tepper. I'd be firing everybody every year. Well, maybe yes, maybe no. But if I was Arthur Blank and I was 82, I would have a bigger sense of urgency. And this, to me, combined with our general manager's inability to really find elite talent defensively, at least in the front seven, that's a recipe for more of the same. That's why I'm so concerned. That's why I was so angry over the weekend.
Yeah. Where is Terry?
Well, he's got a chance to prove some stuff moving forward, and we are going to give him that opportunity because we don't have a choice. But Mike's right. I mean, the critiquing of how we're putting this together and ultimately winning is what this is about. And so, you know, the moves have been made. We're talking about it with you here on the show, but I don't know a lot of folks that are satisfied. Now, coming up a little bit later, I'm going to share something that I don't think a lot of people know about what happened this weekend. So stay tuned. I'm going to give this to you coming up here on the show. You hadn't heard this. You won't hear it anywhere else. And I think it speaks to why a little bit more. But we'll get to that. Mike, when we come back, though, we gotta talk about this game last night, man. By the way, I damn near fell asleep in the first half.